You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show, which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP.
And welcome to another edition of Perspectives. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting in for Louis Sines, who's out for the week. With us this afternoon is Estela Reyes. She's the Media Relations Administrator for Centro de Salud Familiar La Fe Incorporated. First off, Estela, welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for having us.
Great stuff coming around the corner. Día de los Muertos. It's hard to believe that we can actually turn that into a huge celebration, but it is true. It is a celebration of sorts, a celebration of souls, lost and otherwise.
I think for a lot of us in the Mexican-American, Chicano-Mexican community, it's sort of, at least for me personally, the official kickoff for the holidays. Mm-hmm. I think it's a true celebration of life is what it is. People, unfortunately, tend to associate it with death. It's actually the opposite. It's a celebration of someone's life, making sure that they are remembered, making sure that they continue to be present in all true senses of that word in our daily lives.
You know, the culture of Dia de los Muertos, I remember in my family, was always going to the cemetery with some kind of a plate of food or some kind of an offering at the gravesite. And then we would just, we would clean up the gravesite and kind of like hang out and talk to the dead.
Mm-hmm. It's, I think, one of the key things that we try and have on that day is a continued relationship with that individual, whether it's someone we've lost recently or someone we haven't been able to touch and feel around us in a long time, and know that they're still there, to commune with them, to share with them, to enjoy with them the things that they loved in life, their favorite dishes, their favorite music. I have those same memories that you have in my own family of going to visit our grandparents' graves and taking them food. And if you didn't have enough money to pay a band of mariachis to go serenade them at their gravesite, Dia de las Madres, Dia de los Papás, de los Padres, you saved it up for Day of the Dead, and you went and you cleaned off their gravesites, made them pretty and lovely again and pristine, dignified. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if it was a dear uncle that enjoyed a good drink in life, you poured a couple shots into the ground and said, "Ay, le va, tío. Lo quiero y lo extraño mucho," and you said a few prayers.
Anyone who goes in by any of the traditional cemeteries will see this happening, not only here in El Paso, but in Ciudad Juarez.
Mm-hmm. It's still very much done. Not as much as I think we would all like to see it, or in other parts of the interior in Mexico, but it's very much done. And I think a lot of the practices have moved in-house. Mm-hmm. Maybe not at the cemeteries, because I think, unfortunately, U.S. culture tends to look down on that. I've had people even tell me, that they think it's a little bit of a macabre practice, which I personally find, strange and maybe a little hurtful. Mm-hmm. But definitely, no, not macabre. If anything, to me, it's a very loving act. You're wanting to show love and respect to that person that you physically cannot be with anymore, but you feel so much love and emotion for them and their memory that going to the cemetery and just talking to them and saying, "I miss you, I love you, I remember you." Yeah. It's a family event.
There is nothing wrong with catharsis in any sense of the term, and this is basically what this is. But in this realm, your organized celebration is one that puts culture and art together, complete with the music, and brings that tradition back into the neighborhood, bring it back into the barrio, which is where it should be. And then legitimately, it should spread from the barrio back out into the community. I mean, let's face it, 778,000 people here in El Paso, and you're telling me that hardly any of them practice this? Please, really?
Oh, of course we do. many of us may not have ever created or built a Day of the Dead altar. But let's be honest, we all have been in homes, and some of those homes are our own, where we have our own little makeshift altars. I have one. I keep one in my home for my dad. My dad passed away, a little over 2 years ago now. And I keep a portrait of him. I every once in a while when I can, I remember to, I buy some fresh flowers and I talk to his portrait and sometimes just out loud to him. It's my way of keeping him nearby, feeling him nearby. And at this point, I think I'm slowly going toward the decision that I'm finally going to have the wherewithal to be able to handle it emotionally and do a Day of the Dead altar for my, you know, with my family's blessing so that we can remember him. You know, part of the belief system with this tradition and the culture of the Day of the Dead traditions is the ancient Aztec belief that there are multiple levels of death. That's basically what it comes down to. And the first death is the physical death. You know, your body, you know, gives in and you physically die. Eventually, your spirit begins to transition to what perhaps we call heaven, you know, the world of the dead. That's your next level of death. And there, depending on who you talk to, there are others. But the true and final death doesn't actually come until there is literally no one left to say your name or remember you or to say, you know, Dennis was here and made a difference. Estela was a friend and I remember her. That's when you were truly dead and gone. So by remembering them, by singing songs about them, by sharing poetry, by remembering, you know, the dishes that, you know, your friends enjoyed and that you feasted with together and the drinks you kicked back and the jokes you laughed about, you're keeping that individual alive in a true sense. And you're remembering them. And the belief is that by doing these things, you're calling them back just for that one point in the year when they're allowed to commune with us again and share, and that they're given their senses back. They can smell the foods. They can hear the music. They can feel the love. And then, unfortunately, we have to go back to our regular lives and they have to go back to the world of the dead. But next year, we get to do it all over again.
See, in Native American lore, especially when you're talking about Huichol and Tarahumara and Yaqui, would say that the extension of Dia de los Muertos is actually year-round. Because even though we mortals go back to regular life on November 2nd, November 3rd, November 4th, wherever we go, the clouds that roll in, Native American lore says those are all spirits of our loved ones coming to check up on us just to make sure that we're doing okay. Mm-hmm. All the ancestors are coming in as clouds. And that's a wonderful deal, you know. When you stop and think or talk to anyone from the Navajo or from the Hopi or even the Cherokee, if you talk to any of the old elders, they'll tell you the same thing. Those clouds are here just to check up to make sure you're okay. So there, to me, there's nothing macabre about having a Dia de los Muertos. That's, you know, when people who tell me that and then in the same sentence says, oh, by the way, I bought Saw 5. You know, and so we're going to go ahead and have this festival of all of the Saw movies. And hey, wait a minute.
You just jogged a memory of, you know, when we first came to the U.S., my parents did not allow my sister and I to partake in any Halloween-y, you know, type stuff. We thought it was interesting. We thought it was fun. And as kids, we wanted to, you know, have our Halloween kicks too. You know, we were lucky if we got a bed sheet with a couple of holes in it and an old pumpkin. But, you know, growing up, you begin to understand why, you know, your parents didn't want you to get involved with that. And you appreciate it for what it is. But there comes a point when you think, okay, I would find it interesting that the same people who would call this beloved cultural tradition of ours, this link to my ancestors, macabre. I've even heard the word sinister, ghoulish. These are the same people that are hanging very, in my opinion, ghoulish Halloween images and, you know, monster images all over their homes and dressing their kids up like zombies. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, pot meet kettle, kettle meet pot. But I thought, okay, it is what it is. But that's when we, as, you know, border folk have an opportunity to educate and teach somebody that this is a beloved tradition, not just here on the border, but that goes back centuries, goes back generations. And depending on who you're lucky enough to know here from the border that can share this tradition with you, or if you're lucky enough to, you know, have friends over at La Fe who will tell you, hey, come and join us. You know, November 2nd, and listen to the music, dance with our, you know, our community, and remember the past and honor it.
Let's talk about the celebration on November 2nd, because it is quite intriguing, especially it being on a Friday with a virtual full moon.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's good to know.
It's actually a full moon on Monday, so by the time you get to Friday, it's going to start to wane just a little bit.
Okay.
There's more than enough out there for everybody.
It'll be starting to rise. Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the celebration. Okay. Or talk a lot about the celebration.
Well, it's going to take place in the heart of Segundo Barrio. It's going to be in the Culture Technology Center of La Fez Child and Adolescent Wellness Facility, our center down there. If you haven't been to that facility, definitely come check it out. It's a beautiful center. Two facilities that form a child adolescent wellness complex. Front building is our medical pediatric center. And the rear building is a facility that addresses the Hispanic community's health disparities and needs through art, culture, and technology. Very interesting, holistic, and comprehensive approaches. And within that facility is a lovely auditorium that is going to be, on that evening, lit up with Day of the Dead altars, live music from our Guitarras de la Fe, which is a community-based guitar group, singing group. Folks that are brand new to guitar music and folks that are professionals all playing together to, show off what the barrio has in terms of its gorgeous music and art. And we're going to have Ballet Folclorico dancing. Lots of entertainment, very family-friendly event, completely free. You know, we'll have a few refreshments out there. But it's going to be a wonderful family event and a great way to share. And most importantly, for our listeners, if you have someone that you would like to honor, you would like to build a Day of the Dead altar for, give us a phone call, because you would be more than welcome to come and add yours to the collection.
This is a kind of program that actually opens up a lot of discussion amongst generations of our listeners, you know, the young and the old. The older who'll remember what they used to do, and the young ones who don't understand what it's truly all about. As they say, sometimes youth is wasted on the young, but in this case, it's not really. It's one of those things where I think the generations who remember doing the remembrances in their own families, in their own homes.
A lot of teachable moments.
Mm-hmm. They'll pass that on. Mm-hmm. Especially if this program creates a few memories for that, and I'm hoping it does.
Well, I'm, you know, just speaking from a personal perspective, I'm really looking forward to the possibility of doing this for myself, of building a Day of the Dead altar for my dad. I thought about it even before he died, that someday this time would come. It's something that you said earlier. I know it's going to be very cathartic. I know there are going to be tears. But at the same time, you look forward to that, because I rejoice at the idea that he's now in a place where there's no more disease, no more illness, no more pain. Those times when I've had dreams about him, where he's smiling, where he's laughing, I'm thinking, okay, great. He's in that place, and I can start looking at pictures of him when he was young and robust and handsome and having good times with the family, with my mother, with my sister and I as children, as a child himself, and use those images and put bowls of you know, some of the food and drink that he enjoyed, and maybe play some of the songs at his altar that he loved. And yeah, it's my own little way of calling him to me again. But at the same time, you if this is the first time you've ever done that, you may dread that. But once you complete the process, you look forward to that release and you think, okay, I know you're here with me right now. I know that there is comfort in that. There is a little bit of pain, but at the same time, hey, we're Mexican. We relish that. Mm-hmm. we enjoy that. We love our drama. We love our emotion. And that's really what this is about. It's an expression of unending love.
Yeah. For those who think that this is actually something that's unique only to a Mexican or a Latino experience, think again. I mean, take a look at what happens in New Orleans when a person dies. All of a sudden, you have the funeral march. You mm-hmm. have the funeral party.
Kick in the second line.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it stretches beyond that. You go into the Deep South, and there are all kinds of different celebrations of that person's life. So it's not unique just to the border, but this type of celebration is very much a Latino sort of a thing. It's mm-hmm. very very nice to embrace.
And I've always been personally fascinated with how other cultures, you know, how they, you know, what type of relationship that they have with death. I always thought it was very interesting how in U.S. culture, death is a male figure, the Grim Reaper. And in Mexican culture, it's a female. It's La Muerte. It's Mi Comadre La Flaca. You know, La Pelona. You know, it's she's a comical character almost. You know, and death in terms of you know, the classic image of her, not what we're unfortunately beginning to see a lot, you know, here on the border of this whole Santa Muerte business. That's something completely separate. But, you know, the images that are traditional around Day of the Dead, they're very comical images. She's not there to, you know, grab you and haul you off with a scythe to a dark, you know, place, River Styx type stuff.
Right.
She's there to laugh with you and remind you that this is a transition, that you're moving on to the next plane, that you are still very much alive. You are. You're just not physically and going to be in the same form that you have been used to up until that point, but you are still very relevant. You are still very much a member of your family. You are still worthy of being remembered. And worthy of respect.
It's a whole basis behind Brazil's carnival. If you notice, most of the figures are women, and the ones that are representing death or the transition to the other side of the Rainbow Bridge, they're all about women. It's all the female attribute of being able to transition a mortal into immortality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really kind of almost a sultry sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you stop and think about the magnitude of the transition of going from mortal to immortal, man, that's wild. It's just something for the books.
I'm thinking right now of a film. I don't know if you remember, and I'm having trouble remembering the name of the actor, but there's a very famous old black and white classic Mexican film called Mi Comadre La Flaca. Main character is a man, widower. Little boy, and the child is sick. And the belief, of course, is that, you know, if your child has not been baptized and he passes, you know, that child's spirit is going to be in some trouble. And because he's the town drunk, nobody in the village will baptize his little boy. And so in an act of desperation, he heads off to the, I believe, the town cemetery to, you know, have a few bottles and, you know, drown himself in his sadness and his misery. And he calls out into the dark, you know, I'll, you know, hand my son over to anybody at this point to baptize for me, even La Muerte. And she appears. And for the rest of that little boy's naughty childhood and life, she's his madrina. Every time that kid gets in trouble and gets into some little shenanigan or caper, she shows up and magically, you know, gets him off and you know, pulls him out of trouble each time. And it's an hysterical film. I'm going to have to dig it out of my DVD collection. But that's kind of the mentality, the image of Day of the Dead, of death, that she's not there to be scary or to be evil or to be hurtful. She's there to literally take your hand in her bony hand and laugh with you and say, wasn't it a great life? Didn't you feel the love? And you're going to feel it again. Now let's listen to some great music. Let's have a little dance, a little good food, and wait for your relatives to show up.
I think it's curious that you should mention that in the United States it's a male figure that represents death, because there was a 1961 episode of The Twilight Zone where Robert Redford plays the character of death, coming to take this little old lady who has been scared of leaving this tiny little hovel of a condemned building. And at the end of it, he takes her hand and they leave, and she realizes that death isn't always supposed to be scary. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of curious that different cultures
Robert Redford,
have that.
Not bad.
Yeah. Nevertheless, I mean, the Dia de los Muertos is quite a unique celebration along the border because of the manner in which it is celebrated. There are so many different variations on it.
Yes. And everybody, you know, you can personalize it however you want. We've seen, you know, over the years that we've had this event ongoing, we've seen all sorts of expressions of personal love and remembrance. You know, your altar is your personal expression of how and how much you loved that individual. A lot of folks come out and build altars not for a family member or a personal loved one, but for a celebrity or a hero of theirs. We have a lot of folks come out, you know, because we are La Fe, you know, we're a social justice organization. We have a lot of folks in the community who build altars to folks like Cesar Chavez, Corky Gonzalez, you know, a lot of our community's heroes who are sadly no longer with us, but their legacies definitely live on. Their messages live on, and their mission lives on through people in the community, parents trying to teach their kids to do right by the community in the manner in which our elders pass those messages on to us. And hopefully in the way we're passing it on to the children in the community and to each other. Through events like this, you know, we hope to preserve our cultural traditions, our message of honoring our community, our elders, honor them while we have them with us, and always honor them once they're gone.
You can honor a loved one with a mural. You can do that with a statue. You can build an altar with a few of the trinkets that they left behind that mm-hmm. are near and dear. So it doesn't it legitimately doesn't have to be too extravagant, but the extravagance.
You get pretty elaborate too. I've seen some that are mind blowing.
Yeah, but you don't have to. I mean, that the whole bottom line is you don't have to be elaborate in order to pay tribute. But if you've got the means to do so, go for it.
Go for it and take lots of pictures because we definitely want to see it.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
But we hope to have some. You know, a lot of the altars that will be part of this exhibit are being put together by our own staff members. Some of them are being put together by community members, the public. You know, if you're listening and, you know, you've lost someone and you would like to honor them, please give us a phone call. You can call the La Fe Culture and Technology Center at 545-7190. Ask to speak with Emmanuel Alfaro, who is our Ballet Folklorico instructor. And he's also the individual heading up this exhibit and event. And talk to him. He will be more than happy to give you, the do's and the don'ts for putting together a proper Day of the Dead altar, and also tell you how you can bring some of your pictures and, you know, objects, trinkets, you know, whatever you've mm-hmm. got that you would like to use to decorate your altar, and he'll help you put it together.
Yeah.
And on November 2nd, yours too will be part of this beautiful exhibit.
Very cool. That's really cool. You know, it just reminds me of something that I remember seeing now that I'm thinking about it. I was 8 years old, and my grandmother took me to Juarez to go do some shopping on Dia de los Muertos, but it wasn't traditional shopping. She was doing this because she wanted to leave things at my grandfather's grave. And at the Catedral, there was a parade, and all of these wandering minstrels of sorts also had all these wandering exhibits of all these, icons of people long past. And it was a long parade, but it was really kind of happy. And now that I'm thinking about it, that second line was all about that. You know, you look at the comparisons between New Orleans and look at the comparisons about what I saw back then. And it's too bad that tradition went by the wayside because of things that are ongoing over there. Hopefully that gets revived soon. As that city continues to pick up the pieces.
Yeah. And return to life.
Yeah.
Yeah, to their own celebrations of life. But everybody wants to remember the ones that they love. Everybody wants to be remembered. You know, I would like to hope that someday, you know, when I'm, you know, long gone, that somebody at some point will say, you know, yeah, Stella, you know, meant something to me or meant something to this community and put something together. We would all like that for ourselves. So to be able to do this for a loved one, it's a beautiful act of love, and we have folks that year after year come back with boxes and boxes of stuff and go all out. I mean, they really go to town and put that stuff together.
Cool.
But it's the exhibit itself will be up, I believe, until the 7th of November, you know, a full week. So once your particular altar is up, if you choose to join our exhibit, you know, it'll be housed there at the Culture Technology Center for a full week. And then, you know, you can come take it down, but take lots of pictures and, you know, next year, come join us and we'll do it all over again.
Cool deal. What else do you have going on at La Fe?
Oh, my gosh, so much. You know, we are already gearing up for our Luminarias, which is our annual gift of Christmas to the community. It's already been scheduled for December the 15th. It's a Saturday evening, shortly before Christmas. And if you've ever looked up on Scenic Drive and, you know, right before Christmas and seen the entire roadway of Scenic, I mean, it's beautiful any time of year, but you look up there on that night and you see about 4,000 sand-filled bags lining the entire rim of Scenic Drive and a beautiful candle glow from each one. That's us.
Wow, very nice.
That's La Fe performing their annual Chicano Takeover of Scenic Drive. it starts that morning sometime around 5 a.m. when a bunch of bleary-eyed La Fe staff members and volunteers show up at the Culture Center, pack up our supplies and gear, and head for the mountain. And throughout the early morning hours, the sand is delivered, the supplies are delivered, everybody's having hot chocolate, you know, some champurrado, some tamales, you know. We work hard. We play hard too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
very
como
nice.
Sufrimos, ¿verdad? And throughout the morning, we're filling those sandbags. We're folding them properly. We're positioning them. We're getting those candles in place. By the time noon comes around, you know, there are about 4,000 luminarias ready to be lit. The live manger has been built, erected. Decorated, and all we're waiting for is the sun to go down. And so by the time there's a huge line of cars ready to enter Scenic Drive from the east side of the mountain, we're ready with Santa Claus, some elves, you know, live nativity scene, and all the luminarias are lit. And for the next 4 hours until 10 o'clock, you're going to see a continuous slow-moving chain of cars just traveling west on the mountain, enjoying the nighttime view and the candles. And doing like the kings, you know, many, many years ago, taking the gift, you know, following the light. But this time you're not going to be, you know, it's not Santa Claus giving you the gift. It's you giving the gift to Santa for the community. You're handing off bags of canned food and donations for our communities, families in need and are hungry. And unfortunately, this last year has been really rough on a lot of families in El Paso. So we need everybody to really help us and step it up and join us on the mountain.
Should anybody want to volunteer for the Luminarias or for the Dia de los Muertos, who should they contact?
Oh, they can call. They can definitely call the La Fe Culture Technology Center, again, at 545-7190. They're also welcome to call me directly. My office is 545-7226.
Very nice.
Yeah, we love volunteers. Volunteers make the world happen.
Makes me happy too.
Yes.
Dia de los Muertos and also the Luminarias, that'll be on December 15th?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, December 15th is the Luminarias and our Dia de los Muertos event is November 2nd.
November 2nd, and then the display stays up for a week?
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
nice.
Yeah, the exhibit actually goes up on November the 1st, which is Day of the Dead is actually two separate days. It's the tradition is that November 2nd is the day to honor the souls of deceased children,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we've loved and lost. And November 2nd is the day to honor our adults.
Cool deal. Estela, as always, mi casa, su casa. So whatever you need, anything for
thank you.
Buffet, come on down.
Okay.
We've been talking to Estela Reyes from Centro de Salud Familiar La Fe about Dia de los Muertos. Come on down. It's going to be a party. Perspectives is recorded and produced here at the KTEP Studios. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting in for Louis Sines. Have a great weekend.